Good afternoon, Wrangle. You're listening to Talk on the Rock, our local live call-in show. The time is 1:05. We have our guest Virginia Oliver in the studio today to talk about the preservation of the Tlingit language. Call in any time during this program to ask her a question or just say hi. That number is 874-2345. And Virginia, thanks for coming in today.
Thank you, June. Nice to be here again. I usually do a show on Mondays, but yesterday was Sewers Day and I was busy.
Yeah. You're here every Monday doing your vinyl, doing your CDs. You're one of our few people that, does it all kind of analog, more analog than the rest of us.
Okay. Well, thank you for inviting me. I appreciate it. And I'm willing to take any questions and then also talk about how I feel about it.
Okay, perfect. So our topic today is preserving the Tlingit language and Alaska Native languages in general. So I just want to start with Virginia. What is your connection to the Tlingit language? Why is this something that you have a passion for?
Well, in Tlingit language, the first thing that we do and the first thing that we learn is that we introduce ourselves. And I could say, like, Chataya, it's me, Huantlain Yu Chut Duasok, Kakit Asegu Shawataya Chut, which Kuich Achsayitsu. Also, my potlatch name, Kit Asegu Shawat, that I received during the 2008 return of the flotilla robe to the Nanyai, and also my birth name, Huantlain, the frost on the beach when the glacier passes over, was from my clan, Woodsy Native people from Cake area. And then we go ahead and thank the people who were our mentors, and I'd have to say Florence Mark Sheekly, Kakatlat, Ruth Demert, Kanuk. And the first person that I learned from was Kutlaiq, which is Robbie Littlefield, when I went to college in Sitka in 1993. However, before that, my grandparents, John and Alice Joseph, were fluent. They lived here in Wrangell. And my mother, Edna Joseph Wright, was fluent. My uncle Morgan Joseph. These people, and my aunt Martha Jager, my mama Sean, and her name was Tsao Ott, where people who influenced me, I suppose. I was raised on a troller with my grandparents and in and out of the Kluwak area and around here. And another thank you that's going out to the people who helped put the language in the Wrangell Public Schools and who made it pretty much possible was Patrick Mayer, the superintendent, who went to bat for me to get my teaching certificate to be able to teach in the school, and all the other people up there that support it in the World Languages program.
Absolutely. Perfect. Thank you, Virginia. So, I mean, tell me a little bit what it was like to be around those people that you mentioned that are fluent in the language.
Well, I'd have to say that when being raised by my grandparents, they were pretty old. My grandpa was in his 80s and my grandma was in her late 70s when I came on the scene, and they had the boat, the Mary B. My cousin Jim Shirai was there too, and they were staying out there on the point at Old Town, right straight across from Edelin there, and my grandparents had a fish camp down there, and they spoke to me in Tlingit. However, baby Tlingit, because it's locked away, it's dormant, you know. I can understand if you speak. It's very hard to speak the language. There's so much to it. And how we're going about it right now is college-taught Tlingit from all our teachers and stuff. And we're using a scope and sequence that was developed by various groups and organizations, the Alaska Gold Belt, and my esteemed teachers, Dick and Nora Dauenhauer. Mm-hmm. In the beginning, Tlingit, the skeleton of all the work we do. And our new teacher, Lance Twitchell, Kune, where we're using his workbook. and the things that he's doing in the University of Alaska Southeast Juneau campus to flesh out what we're doing, plus the things curriculum by Sea Alaska, also through all the various things that go on during the cycle of life around Alaska.
Exactly. So, yes, so there is a whole body of curriculum for school kids all the way up to college for people to learn this. And, you know, so you grew up with some people, you know, some people that are fluent in this. I mean, why do you think it's of value to, for you to continue to learn this and for other people to continue to learn this?
You know, that's a really good question. I ask myself that question. In fact, Khashoggi, Roy Mitchell asked us that during one of our immersion classes. Since the 2000s, we had been invited by Sea Alaska and then after that Gold Belt to go into various classes and summits and even in Ketchikan Indian Corporation trying to preserve the language. You know, we're Tlingit, we're still here, you know, Ha'ani, and we have all of our children and our grandchildren after us, and talking about my grandparents and being a grandchild of people that we're fluent and in Wrangell, the fluency that's here when people think that they don't know their language, but they really do. They really do. If you talk to them, they have phrases and things that they know, and it isn't really all about the language, although the language is the foundation of the culture. The culture is still there. We're still eating herring eggs. It's time for the herring eggs. We're still getting seaweed from our areas. We're still fishing. We're still drying fish. We're still putting fish up. It's all culture. It's all cycle. And these people that I know that talk about these things, you know, if you look at it, it's a medicinal language, if you ask me, and we're learning that a little bit with Lance talking to us about language, and Khashoggi asking us why we wanted to learn it. The kids in my class say, why not? And I like that, you know, why not? I could just see their faces right now. And they all have Tlingit. They all have Tlingit in them. And then we have other children also that are interested in the language who are of Dena'ina descent, Athabascan people. We've got Cherokee people that are learning. We've got people, Ojibwa, the Hopi people. These children that are in Johnson O'Malley, and they're come to these classes because they are of Native American descent, and they see the beacon of Johnson O'Malley, that beacon, our cultural beacon here in Wrangell after we lost our A&B Hall in the 70s, and I always think that where I'm at there in the snow building, that was like the cultural beacon for the kids in Wrangell, and they get to hear a little bit about what I heard and saw when I was a child, along with my brothers and sisters, and the people in Wrangell, too. I was just talking to the lady that does the baby Raven reads for Sea Alaska, getting mm-hmm. our kindergarten children ready for school, talking about her mother's fluency and how they didn't speak it, how it was, I guess, forbidden to speak, mm-hmm. you know. But nowadays it's different because the person that I mentioned, Khashoggi, Roy Mitchell, when we were in immersion, and you know how sometimes they go by with a towel and they go like this, like to stop you from doing something, and he used to do that. He'd go by and he'd tap you if you were speaking in English because he wanted you to speak in your language, whichever language they were doing at the time. Sometimes they did a little bit of Yupik or they did German or whatever. Mm-hmm. He wanted us not to speak English, and it was kind of like a turn of the tide where years ago my teacher, Kuatlatu Kakatlat, Florence Mark Sheikley, used to talk about when they sent them into boarding schools, her and her brother, because they had just come off the boats and they were always spoke their language, but back in those days they weren't allowed to, and they'd put them in the closet. And she said the mistake they made is they put her and her brother together in the closet and they spoke Tlingit to each
other. Oh, yeah,
what
else are they going to speak?
So they made a vow in that closet that they would never stop speaking their language. And to this day, they both teach either carving or language or beating or whatever. And it's people like that that held on to that, you know, that.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, that really inspire me. And she'd help anybody who was interested. The same as Ruth Demmert from Cake Kirkwan. She is retired now, and, you know, they retire when they're in their golden years. But they're still there. If you were to call her and ask her, she'd think about it, and then she'd say, I'll get back to you.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so.
It sounds like, a lot of your interest in this language is, yes, it is about the Tlingit culture, but it's also about Wrangell, and it's also about these people that you know intimately that they're fluent in it, and they went through, you know, these times where they weren't supposed to be speaking it in their schools. And, you know, it sounds like that's a terrible thing that people would have to go through that. And I think that's a good reason to keep it alive.
Well, yeah, that's the past. And this is today. And we have a dream, you know, our teacher, the professor, has a dream of a, you know, 5,000 fluent speakers by the turn of the century, things like that. You know, we reach out, and every day they just told us when we came home from those classes, if you even know one word, gunachish, say it when you go to the store, you know, and you'd be surprised how many people understand. Mm-hmm. Anything that you can teach, just teach. Any words at all, just say them. And it's hard in a changing world. You know, you're so busy having a relationship or having a job and raising kids and doing all these things that it gets kind of pushed on the back burner. And one thing that our teacher tells us to do is that you got to surround yourself with it. You got to write it down, the dock table, write it, stick it on there, the wall, talk, taya, put it there, you know, taya. Put things, different words that down at JOM we have a picture of paper towels in the bathroom and the word on it, you know. They just leave it on there, people.
Yeah.
You know, even though the building changed hands, they still leave those words up on the wall and just different things like that. Just, you have to surround yourself. It has to be one of the top three things in your life if you want to become fluent. And that's hard. It's difficult.
Yeah. Huh? Yeah, I like that you're being so honest and realistic about it. Yeah. And it's even harder when it's not something that is spoken by.
No, there's no birth speakers. There hasn't, and we don't want to be heralding this all over the place because, you know, we might want some, well, I'm not even going to say it, grant money. And so don't want to say there's no fluent speakers. There's a lot of heritage speakers in Wrangell. Okay. Lou Knapp and I,
What do you mean by a heritage speaker? Define that.
Lou Knapp and I were always looking for a way in to teach, and we called up the humanities, and we asked if we could get some money to do a language culture camp out at Old Town at Gramps' old cabin and bring a couple speakers in. They go, well, yeah, but you got to fill out paperwork. And so there was Lou and I and Sue Stevens, and there was Kay Larson. All of us got together, and people had a little part to do, and we wrote a small grant, and we got people in to help us. And one of the things was you need to get some people speaking. So we did classes, and we became heritage speakers. We started right from the very beginning with that book, Beginning Tlingit, and we just taught. We had 14 people in our class that would show up. And I tell you what, the elders were so wonderful. Boy, they show up, and if they're not going to be there, they let you know. Mm-hmm. You know, they say, I'm not going to be there this date. I'm going south, but I will be back, and I will be right at class. They showed up early and wiped the tables down and helped you get the food out. Elders are really something, you know, they're. And that's what I want to be. I got my shirt on. I'm an elder in training.
Elder in training.
Yeah, I am an elder in training.
Yeah.
And just doing those things that I saw the old people do. And one thing I want to say is that when I was younger and 8 years old here in Wrangell, Grandma Josie Ucas down there by towards Shakes Island had a house down there, and her husband, Tom Ucas, my grandparents were real good friends with them, John and Alice Joseph. And we had to go down there for drumming class, and we sat in the front room, and they always had sandwiches and coffee. They put a lot of milk in the coffee. Mm-hmm. And you could have a sandwich and sit down there, and sometimes cookies, and we practiced songs. And I saw that, and I still do that today. We still drum on Wednesdays down at the Johnson O'Malley Room. Mm-hmm. We have people that come in every Wednesday from 3 to 5 for coffee and cake and sandwiches, and we drum. And we're getting ready to go to Celebration in June 5th through the 10th. Mm-hmm. In Juneau, biannual gathering of the people.
Okay, that would be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We're working towards that.
That's a blast. All right, we are back with Virginia Oliver to talk about the preservation of the Tlingit language. You can call us to ask a question or make a comment. That number is 874-2345. Where should we take this now?
Well, you had asked me about what a heritage speaker was, and I was getting to it. That's a Tlingit for you.
Okay.
All the people that have been learning, and there was a group of them, 14 of them, that in order to get that grant, we needed to have those people so that they could be heritage speakers. And they're the ones that learning right out of the book. But we have some elders in there that were raised by their grandmothers, and they... I would say it something one way, and they would say it a different way. Uncle Harry Churchill, he would say it a different way, meant the same thing, and he'd just laugh. And nobody, Tlingit elders don't ever say, you know, you do it like this or do it like that. They kind of model what they're saying or doing. And so the heritage speaker, there's all those ones that took those classes and learned how to introduce themselves and the nouns, and then the kids that we're teaching in the Wrangell High School in the World Languages class, and there's another class in there also, the Spanish class is also in there with Odile Meister. And Lou Knapp and I, in that class, our first class, we had quite a few kids in there. They were in there for Tlingit 1, and we just went through the first four lessons. Then we were mucking around in lesson 6 and 7. And then when they came back this year, we really went into lesson 7, which was, and we introduced the 32 verbs that were for second and third person, and mm-hmm. talking to them about what are you doing, and then having them use Ramirez Garcia, Total Physical Response book on showing what you're doing. So anytime they would say what they were doing, Wasakianuk, what am I doing? What are you doing? They'd have to do a stick figure and show what they were doing so that in their minds they could see. They are heritage speakers also, heritage learners, mm-hmm. heritage speakers.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to let you know that there's a bunch of them running around.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And so just to bring up what's happening in the news, I read about this in the Wrangell Sentinel, I heard it on... National Native News, that there is a House bill that was passed. It needs to go to the Senate, and then it would go to the governor, which is a resolution that would encourage Governor Bill Walker to declare a linguistic emergency for all 20 Native languages in Alaska. That's a resolution that is going... that may very well go to the governor for him to say, we as a legislature need to put more resources into this. We want to make preserving our native languages a priority. I want to know, you know, from you, like, what does preservation look like? Is it we double the amount of native speakers, or is it, well, we have a whole bunch more of heritage speakers that participate, you know, in this way, or we have museums that have these exhibits, you know, what does that look like for you?
Oh, boy, that's a big question. That's a lot of stuff.
And let's say, you know, if the state of Alaska got like $3 million to put just into this, to just like dedicate time and resources to this, you know, what would you want to see them do?
just exactly how I've been learning. They give the money to the different, like Sea Alaska and Gold Belt and Wrangell Cooperative Association I'm looking for. Because when you do get those heritage speakers and you do have that behind you, that people could handle this, they look into those Esther Martinez grants and they look into surveys about who would be interested in your community, who would step forward, that they could do these things, that they could teach, that they could go out to these different fish camps, or we could go into the school system or down into the museum or in the library and just start this flow of language materials coming in, preserving our language. I mean, we're never not going to be Tlingit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our teachers would say, you're never ever going to wash it off you. It's not coming off. We are Tlingit people.
Mm-hmm.
And whoever is native. And that is the place-based culture that's here in Wrangell. It's Tlingit country. Ha'ani. So gosh, anything that could be done for the preservation of the language is a good thing for me. I can only give you my experience and classes, things forward. Yes, a go. It's a priority. That's what I'm looking for. It's priority. You know, it takes me back to the fact that the Eyak people, you know, we have our people like James Crippen from Wrangell, Zeoshan, and other people that are learning this, and Zeosh is Tlingit, and he's going for his doctorate, his PhD in the Tlingit language. There's Seth Cable. There's all those guys that are writing, Kune again, about all this stuff, and I think about how the last speaker of the Eyak language up there, and there in that, here's Alaska,
mm-hmm.
and yeah, like that. Right in here where the Eyak people are, there's nobody left there. There's Eyak people here in Wrangell, but their language, they just got on there and they just preserved. They talked to her. They recorded for years and years because they knew she was the last fluent speaker
wow.
left. And when she passed, it was on CNN News. I saw it. She was gone, and that language is gone.
Exactly.
But they preserved all that.
Yeah.
And I got invited a couple of years ago to Fairbanks, and they have the Alaska Language Center up there where mm-hmm. it's all archived and stuff. And we went up there, and they were doing the people that were, you know, so smart that tears popped out of my eyes when I was trying to listen
yeah.
to them. I'm telling you, holy macaroni, they were all going for their PhDs and working with their professors that were bringing them there.
Yeah.
And then they did a Tlingit cohort, and that was a bunch of us Tlingits went up there. It was really something to listen to that and to know that there are people preserving its co-language, and they meet every year in different areas, and it's about the orthography and the linguistic material of learning the language. Like right now in Lewis and I's class, which we're piloting here, which is Tlingit 1 and Tlingit 2, to kids that came in last year and are this year are going to get their credit for the language. It's going to be a credit, which is monumental to me because culture is also in there. So we're feeding them also handouts and articles and stuff to read.
Mm-hmm.
And the third thing that we would like to do, possibility, is looking at maybe doing a intermediate or a Tlingit 2, talking a little bit more about the linguistics of it.
Yeah, that would be great.
But it all has to do with, you know, we're in there under that IEA grant, and then we work down in the Johnson O'Malley mm-hmm. room, and those are both... mine's a supplemental grant
mm-hmm.
for Johnson O'Malley, and Lou's is the Indian Education Grant. And
mm-hmm.
we work under that in going forward and preserving our language. We're already doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So if we ever wanted to write for a grant for like the Esther Martinez, and
mm-hmm.
we have heritage learners that can step forward and do the things that are needed in that grant, surveying and looking and setting up meetings and stuff and looking at where we go next with it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. Yeah, you've had those heritage learners, and that means that you can keep getting these grants, keep expanding, add more curriculum, learn about the linguistics of it. I love that. That sounds beautiful. It's a very Yeah, I mean, like, what is the linguistics of it?
When I was looking at you, I thought of, they talk about the two ladies that in the 70s were in Angoon. They were there for 8 years, and they lived with the people down there, and they wrote the Tlingit Verb Dictionary. And that in itself, you have to learn how to read that thing. And when I was coming home and I was going to go to work, the ladies from Huna, Kashkeh, Duffy Wright and her sister Linda Bellardi, they had given Lou and I 10 of those dictionaries. And we have those, and we haven't had the opportunity to really use them.
Mm-hmm.
When the kids ask us something, we say there's 4 dictionaries over there, ones that were written by Akishawu, Carrie Egelstrom, and we say, we'll look it up, because there's English to Tlingit, Tlingit to English, and they'll look it up and do that. But in the verb dictionary where we're in right now,
mm-hmm.
in lesson 8 in the beginning Tlingit, it's having to do with those verbs and talking more about dasaya dane. What are you doing? What
mm-hmm.
are you actually doing right now?
Mm-hmm.
And stuff like that.
Yeah, absolutely. That sounds great. Okay. You know what? Unless we have any calls, 874-2345, I think we can wrap this up. Is there anything else you would like to say, Virginia?
I would really like to thank KSDK also and the people here that helped put that Tlingit phrase on the radio.
Go ahead and tell us a little bit about that.
That took a long time to write. And if you notice that when you listen to it, some of the things that had happened years ago when we were writing it in the last decade, it seemed like, trying to swing that through there, the weather had changed a wee bit. It kind of warmed up a little bit, you know, from when we were kids and what was going on around here in Wrangell. And we interviewed a lot of fishermen. We interviewed, like, Arthur Larson,
mm-hmm.
Carl Stevens. We talked mm-hmm. a little bit to the older people about what was happening around Wrangell, James Shrine and stuff. And they were fishermen is who we talked to about when the fish were coming in or when you saw the killer whales coming in.
Yes.
Emil Churchill, when they were talking about going up for the hooligan runs and about what was going on in Sitka for the herring runs. We did a lot of that, and what we saw was that things were changing a little bit with the weather. And you know they have stuff going on for that in Canada. If you can, you know, say that the weather has changed and it has, things are different, you know, and I'm like, I can think about that. I have other stuff to do. But it was really nice that, and the first of all, we started to do this, and we worked a little bit with Peter Helgeson and then Shady Grove Oliver. And that was really good. And we worked a little bit with Sam Fenimore. There was a lot of people in here, and your director right now, Cindy, we worked with her, and mm-hmm. all. And now we're working with you, and it's just wonderful how perceptive, receptive, and positive KSDK is for letting us do that and wanting us to do more, like do a seal hunting camp and talk a little bit around that for the various things that go on around Wrangell in different seasons.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thank you for coming to us with, you know, the Tlingit cultural things that we can air on KSDK. Tlingit Phrase of the Week is awesome. We've been doing it for a long time. We're glad to have it. And also, thank you for doing a show every Monday.
You're welcome. I like that. Music, you have to fit that in your life, too.
Yeah, you do. Music, language, fishing. Maybe some other things. Okay, Virginia, you're amazing. Thank you for coming in today. And thank you all for listening to Talk on the Rock. We air every Tuesday at 1 p.m. We have a local guest call come in. And you can always call in. So we are going to go to some music now. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Gunashish.
Say it again.
Gunashish.
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 Gunashish.